The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
To IMC, and it's I think it's always nice to sit together, meditate together in community, in sharing the silence, the sitting, the intention of trying to be present and mindful and free in the middle of our complicated lives. So I certainly appreciate being here with all of you. Because this volunteer fair was chosen to happen today, I thought I would talk a little bit about volunteering, the dharma of volunteering, and seems that the word volunteering comes from maybe French or Latin, and it's related to the word to want to do something. So volunteering means that you do something because you want to. In Italian, it's vuole, I would like to. And the idea that there's intentionality that arises from the volunteer that wants to be expressed. And I think of volunteering in a Dharma setting, and any setting, hopefully, has two different component parts that I cherish, I value. One is that it's a practice, and the other is that it's an expression. And as a practice, it's like any other Buddhist practice that we do, that it's a place to cultivate ourselves, to develop ourselves, and not just with mindfulness. Certainly it's a place to practice mindfulness, but it's also a place to practice many of the virtues, many of the good qualities of character that support practice, support human life in general. The key one is generosity. And volunteering is a subset of the Buddhist emphasis on generosity. Generosity is the kind of the first, I think, foremost Buddhist virtue. In some of the lists where generosity appears, it always appears first, and being ethical appears second. So we kind of consider very into the idea of being generous, that somehow we live in the world of our community. We don't practice, Buddhism is not only about one's own inner practice, but has a lot to do, maybe first and foremost to do, with how we live in the world, with our family and friends and neighbors and colleagues and community and global community. And one of the primary ways to create a healthy community is to be generous. Many years ago, I read an anthropological study of a community. I think it's a fairly isolated community in the mountains of the Philippines, where they had been living much as they had done for many centuries, and so fairly, you know, the wisdom of the ages was still intact there before they had been modernized. And one of the great pieces of wisdom that they discovered that helped create harmony in their, I think not just their community, but there was villages around that, I guess, extended community. And was that if someone had a dream where someone with someone else in the community, so in your dream, someone else in the community appeared. And especially if that person appeared in a negative way, like they were trying to frighten you or cause problems for you or something, then it seemed the custom was when you woke up in the morning from that dream, you would go find that person in the village or in the neighboring village, and you'd give them a gift. And isn't that great? So who knows why someone appears in your dreams? Yeah, my assumption is usually more often than not, it has mostly to do with your own inner life, not the external life. But even so, gift giving is a social harmonizer. It's a way of kind of creating harmony, breaking down resistance and barriers and grudges that people have. It can create a very nice connection between people. It's like this thread of goodwill that can exist between people if the generosity is generous. Giving can happen without being generous. And sometimes it doesn't, even then it works. So giving can be good. But to give in a generous way is a wonderful thread that kind of ties a connection between people that tends to create better relationships. And I often advise people when there's some kind of social friction between family members or different people, is to find some way to give a gift. It could be a very small one, something that seems inconsequential, but still kind of reaches out and crosses that barrier between self and others that somehow can be kind of, you know, represent the distance between people who have some animosity or challenge or tension between them. So generosity is kind of like the first and foremost kind of virtue in Buddhism. And one variation of it is being a volunteer, which means that you offer your labor, your efforts, in order to support other people. So it's not a gift where someone, you leave something with someone, but you come forward with your own efforts and time and labor. And so you're the gift in the situation. You're the gift through which your generosity flows. And I'm really struck by how our world, you know, our world, pretty much everywhere, is really built on generosity. Probably more than anything else. It's probably the economy of generosity probably is one of the maybe underappreciated economic systems that our world has. And underappreciated perhaps of the way in which our society kind of is kept fluid and flowing and supported. You know, just imagine that if, you know, parents everywhere raising children decide, you know, I'm done with this volunteering. You know, this is a lot of volunteering going on here. And, you know, until they start paying me, these kids, you know, or they're on their own now, you know, I've done this for 3 years. I think, you know, they're on their own, and, you know, I have more important things to do than volunteering at home all the time. You know, it is a kind of volunteering at home, and sometimes the volunteering at home or with family can not feel like volunteering. It feels like an obligation. It sounds like, you know, like you have to do it. No one else is going to do it. And that it can feel that way, and if it feels that way, then maybe it is. But there's always the opportunity to turn that around in your heart and for you to feel that it's generous, for it to come from as an act of generosity. At work, you might be given the most boring, mundane, maybe, job to do, and you might not feel very generous in doing it, but I would like to propose that maybe more often than not, generosity is an attitude that you bring to what you do. And maybe you can look at it, what you do, through the perspective of you could do this in a generous way. So I used to work as a fast order cook for a while, and I would kind of be swirling around in the kitchen making all this fast food, and the waiters and waitresses would come in very fast and pick up the food. And I made it my task to always try to improve the well-being or the level of happiness of the waiters and waitresses came in, even though it was like maybe a second that we were together, a couple of seconds. And it went to such a small thing as how I placed the dishes that were being served up on the counter in the kitchen so they could pick it up. So I would lay it out there in such a way that it was a nicer layout, it was easier for them to pick up. And then if there was a chance to speak to them, I would say something, and I'd remember what I said in a little conversation, a little exchange. And then next time they came through, I would continue the conversation in a nice way. And for me, it was, you know, it was a way of sprinkling in generosity into the situation that didn't have to be there. I wasn't expected to be generous. So it's 2 points I'm trying to make. One is that our society has a tremendous amount of generosity, volunteerism that goes on, that supports. And, And I don't know if American society has more than others. I kind of grew up in Europe, and there's certainly plenty there. But somehow I associate America with a tremendous spirit of volunteerism. In churches all over, and in sports for kids. I mean, my kids grew up here in Redwood City, and the amount of parents involved in coaching and volunteering their time and effort to coach these kids was quite lovely. There was a kind of very special moment where I kind of appreciated this. It was idiosyncratic for me that I would see it this way, but that's okay. That maybe was my son was did a lot of years of baseball, and all these parents were baseball coaches, and when he was maybe 8 or 9, it was the beginning of the baseball season, Little League season. And he was meeting the coach and the team were meeting themselves for the first time. And so the coach had all the kids sitting on the bench in the dugout. And he was just outside the dugout. And the first thing he said to them, and I suspect most of them didn't even hear him, was he said, "You are now sitting in hollow ground." And I suppose what he meant that in America, you know, there's something sacred about baseball. But what I heard, what I preferred to hear, what I heard, what I associated with, here we are in America where we have all these little leagues and sports teams and everything, and that are being supported by people's generosity and volunteerism. And this is special. This is hollow ground. And, in the city of Redwood City and communities all over the country have put together their tax money to build these little fields and all this stuff. And it's pretty far out. I think it's pretty neat. So volunteering is a practice where we have a chance to practice generosity. We have a chance to practice some of the qualities of character that come into play when we're involved with other people. Being able to have a commitment sometimes and be able to stand behind it is a kind of develops certain kind of inner strength. Being in communication with other people, and there's all kinds of, people are complicated. Being a community is, all kinds of interesting things happen. And so part of the value of being in community is to bump up against each other, and maybe even part of the advantage of being volunteering is so you can be in tension with people and conflict, and so you can work through it and understand yourself better and find out what it's like to keep an open heart or even when there's conflict, or how to find your way through it. There's chances for developing equanimity or patience. There's chances to cultivate loving kindness and compassion when we volunteer, and wisdom and understanding. A lot of things can be cultivated in the process of volunteering if we engage in it as a practice. If we have a sense and understanding, oh, this is a place where I can grow and develop myself. And as a practice, volunteering works sometimes even if when you don't feel like doing it. Just like meditating. Sometimes you might not feel like meditating, but it still works. It still is beneficial. It's still something that grows and develops over the days and months and years. And so as a practice, it's multifaceted, and it's a rich area to practice in. The second aspect of volunteering is it's an expression. And as an expression, we have good hearts, we have the capacity for empathy, we have the capacity for generosity, we have a capacity to really feel that we're not just isolated individuals, but we are each other, we are a community. And so the natural expression of an open heart, a liberated heart, is to want to be in relationship with other people in a generous way or connected way, to care for each other. It's like the right hand, in a sense, cares for the left hand. It's like, the right hand doesn't have to, when the hands wash each other, the right hand doesn't have to think about, I don't know if I want to wash that left hand. Or the left hand says, I don't know, that right hand has been, been up to no good or something. It's just kind of a natural thing to make that connection. And so it can be that way. So it's an expression. That expression of generosity, expression of compassion, expression of goodwill, expression of community. It's a natural thing. And it's a beautiful thing to feel the heart open enough to let it flow this way. And the thing about the expression is that some things grow in the expression of them. Some things only become, if they don't get expressed, they get bottled up. And so the impulse, the desire to want to be generous, to want to support others, I think it's a healthy thing to let it find expression in some form or other. And one of those ways is to volunteer, whether it's to volunteer. Volunteer means you do things which are, I understand this, at least when it's an act of generosity, when it's not required, it's not expected. And maybe we don't always think that, you're at home with your family, you're volunteering when you make an extra dessert one night to make it. You don't have to make the dessert, but you're volunteering to make a dessert. So you offer something nice. It's a generous act. Or at work, there's other people who are responsible for cleaning up, so you don't have to clean up the mess. But then everyone has to live with it until someone comes, in a few hours. So it's a generous act to volunteer to clean up and make it a little bit nice for everybody else. There's all kinds of ways in which we can offer ourselves over to the world and to ourselves. IMC and many Buddhist communities, and as is true for, I think, many religions all over the world, volunteerism is a huge part of these communities. It's partly, they exist successfully because of so many people contribute their efforts and time to it. And I think it's a beautiful thing that there are institutions that come together, and they exist out of the goodwill of the people who are part of them. And that's particularly true here at IMC, where everything is done by volunteers. There's no one on paid staff here. No one's really obligated to do anything here. We have a kind of an open door policy. People can come in and practice here and hear teachings here, and people do it for years, and sit in the back row, and we hardly ever get to know them, and they're kind of very content, and we're content, and it all seems to go along. But then there are people who step forward to volunteer in many different ways. And we have volunteers here who do major jobs, who do a lot of work. Some of the people, some of the big responsibility jobs is our bookkeepers. And we have some like six different people helping with bookkeeping. It's a relatively big operation here, that where it actually turns out that there's a lot of things to take care of in financing this place, because we don't charge for anything, and it's very, very, very rare that we even ask or mention that there's opportunity to donate, and it's kind of the people who are in the bookkeep volunteer in the bookkeeping. I think most of them, maybe all of them, are kind of, when they first start doing it, are surprised and inspired that it works financially, that somehow we manage, and the money comes in, and we're able to support this place and make it keep going, and do newsletters and websites and pay for everything. And like, they're kind of like, wow, how does this work? I don't think our treasurers have ever had to be anxious. It's quite something. I don't know how many organizations in the world where treasurers are not anxious. I don't think our treasurers ever had to, lost any sleep about, how are we going to pay? So we manage. It's not like, luxurious, but we manage. The people in bookkeeping are often inspired, the ones who have told me, by being part of that field of generosity and feeling that all the money coming in is people's generosity. And wow, it makes them happy. It kind of makes them sing a little bit. So to practice in community, to volunteer at IMC is considered one of the options for practicing in our community. So you can come here to practice to meditate. You can come here and practice in some of the different programs we have that we offer here. And it's possible to practice as a volunteer. And so it is a practice, as I said earlier, where People practice mindfulness. People practice getting to know themselves better. They learn new skills. They sometimes challenge themselves in areas which they're a little bit hard. Sometimes people are challenged by the very idea of being in community. And so by volunteering puts you more into the middle of the community, and you get some of that, both the challenges and the benefits of being in community, and then growing as a result. One of the nice things about volunteering in a Buddhist community is that many of the volunteers tend to be people who've been around for a while and have started to mature in their Buddhist practice. And so when we volunteer, we have a chance to be around other people with shared values and shared maturity in the practice, and we learn from each other and because of that. We're bump against each other, and we see how people are mindful, how they do a task, how they talk, how they the values they live by, and it can be quite inspiring. I know people who find some of the values and ways people talk to each other in certain domains in their life quite challenging. It's not uncommon for people to come and talk to me how much gossiping goes on at their place of work, and they really feel uncomfortable being part of that. And they don't know, but that feels like that's normal, that's what's expected. And then coming to being around another community where there is no gossip and people are talking kindly to each other can be very inspiring for some people who haven't had much experience with that. To show the kind of, to be in a community where there's some modicum of care and mindfulness in what we do is inspiring as people are learning to be mindful and caring for their attention and what they do. To witness people who have values of generosity. It was very important for me because I didn't grow up without generosity, but I didn't grow up with it much of it either. It was kind of like in the neutral zone. And the first time I was involved in a Buddhist community, and I was sitting at the office. I was at the Tasahara Bakery. San Francisco Zen Center had a bakery once upon a time. And up in the Haight-Ashbury area, and I was in the office of the person who was the Zen priest who was kind of running it at that time, and he opened a piece of letter that came, and it was a fundraising letter from some neighborhood organization. I don't know what the neighborhood organization was doing, but something for the immediate neighborhood there, and this was like 1979, and he said he opened and he said, Gil, what should we do with this? And I was completely perplexed. What? I didn't know what to do with a fundraising letter. I was just a little kid and pretty young and no experience of anything like that. He said, "Well, I think we'll send them $100." And I was completely perplexed. Why would you do that? So it wasn't, I don't say that proudly, but it made such a big impact on me that he would want to do that. He wasn't required to do it, I felt. That was kind of, began to open me up to a certain level of generosity and being citizen of the world and sharing and being supportive of others, that little act. So here I was in a Buddhist community and I witnessed an act of generosity that was beneficial for me. So to watch and see what other people do, to be in community, is a very important part of volunteering. And then I think as an expression, many people who do Buddhist practice, if they find a lot of value in it, and some people find ultimate value in it, they find this is the most important thing for them in their lives. There's nothing else which seems like more important because it penetrates everything else they do. The values of compassion and loving kindness, the values of the capacity for empathy and being together, the possibility for freedom and finding great value in a life that somehow addresses the core sufferings of human life and finds a way out of it into a level of peace and freedom that is incomparable. That some people find this could be, for some people the most important thing they've encountered, the most important transformation they go through in their lives. And then some people feel very naturally that I want to share this with other people. I've received all these gifts, all these benefits, and now I feel like I'd like to kind of bring it back into the world and have the world benefit from this as well. And so one of the ways to do that is to support the place that is making these opportunities available, making the opportunities of practice, of Buddhist teachings available to more people. And that was my first inclination or choice, decision to make. At some point I really wanted to base my life on supporting other people to practice, to support other people in the teachings. And I had no idea, no thought that I could ever be, was going to become a teacher in doing that, because that just seemed like, I didn't feel like I was, that was going to happen. But I did want to find some way to support people, so it took the form of being ordained as a Zen monk or Zen priest back when I was part of the San Francisco Zen Center. And my ideal was to have a small neighborhood Zen meditation hall, a Zendo, and that I would have the key. And I would open the door, keep the place clean, and I would sit and meditate when people came to meditate with me. And I didn't have no idea. I wasn't going to sit up here and teach. But I really felt like this is how I could give back to our society, how I can respond to the suffering society, because I'd gotten so much benefit. I saw the benefit of this practice. And so the idea of supporting a community, supporting a place, supporting others, supporting each other in having, in offering these as a way of giving back to our society. And so as many, as I often say, I think one of the profound ways of growing in the Dharma is to not just take care of your own practice, but to actually take care of the place in which you practice. And I thought this was so important that when we first started in the Palo Alto days, we were a very small group and met Monday nights, and I remember about 12, 15 people would come. And there was almost nothing to do in terms of the tasks. Someone had to have a key to get in and out. Someone had to collect a little bit of money people donated so we can pay rent to the church. And then the other thing that had to happen was at some point Spirit Rock, the meditation center in Marin County that we're affiliated with, got going with their programs, and we had little flyers from Spirit Rock to put out. We didn't even have any flyers of our own because we had no programs. So early on, I thought some of these things were easier for me to do myself than to find volunteers. But I thought it was, even though it was easier for me to do alone, I thought it was more important to have people volunteer and do it, because to spread it out so that everyone is participating has a chance to step forward and offer their, be part of that experience of caring for the place that they're practicing in. And I remember in the late 90s, I asked once for volunteers to do some task, and I was dismayed by the result, by the consequence of asking, because something like 6 or 7 people stepped forward, and we only had one thing that we had a need to do. And I felt so bad because all this goodwill and generosity and wanting to be of service, wanting to be in the community more fully, I couldn't give them something to do because we were so simple. So we've rectified that here. So now we have, almost infinite opportunities for things. Infinite opportunities and hopefully very little needs. I'm hoping that we set up IMC, how we run here, is we're opportunity-based and not need-based. So there's a lot of the things we do here that don't have to happen. I feel like in our hearts we should always be ready to kind of collapse and do less. Because I think it's very important to provide an environment where people's generosity comes first and foremost, and not a sense of need or duty or emergency. Oh no, we have a crisis, we need something. And so the idea is, we don't have, a lot of stuff we do, we don't have to do. But when we do it, it's wonderful. And the people who make it possible, it's a great offering, and it's a happiness-producing thing, and it supports many people. So to be opportunity-based rather than need-based is part of the principles of how to be a volunteer at IMC. And finally, what I'd like to say is that about volunteering, where you put yourself in. It's not just, you know, offering money or gifts or things, but offering yourself, your time, your labor, your whole being is offered when you're a volunteer, is one of the profound aspects of Dharma practice is learning to give up self-preoccupation or kind of an unhealthy self-centeredness. And I think especially in American culture where there's a very strong streak of individualism, which is not necessarily bad in and of itself, but lends itself to a lot of self-centeredness too easily. That one of the nice things about meditation is it's supposed to kind of dissolve that unhealthy self-centeredness, the selfishness. And one of the ways to expedite that or continue that growth in being unselfish or unself-preoccupied is volunteering, is to be in community and offer yourself. Step forward and offer yourself. And offer yourself a little beyond even your comfort zone sometimes in order to discover where that line is of self and others and where there might be attachment and holding. And to discover the great pleasure and joy of letting go of attachment to self, clinging to self-identity, clinging to fear, clinging to an unwillingness to share yourself or be seen by other people, you know, and all the different things that come up, and discover how to be present and open, available to the world, participating in the world, confident, feeling a sense of belonging, feeling a sense of efficacy and purpose, without the contraction of that can happen around self, liberation from self through volunteering. So anyway, it's a great thing. To me, it's one of the wonderful things about the IMC and having been part of this community for so many years and been both the recipient and the participant as a volunteer in this community. I would say it's been very, very inspiring. Inspired me in my practice, inspired many other people in the practice, inspiring to have this as an example of what's possible in our culture and our society. I think it's kind of a remarkable place. And I don't know if many of you, I don't know many other places like this where it's just kind of so open and available for people to come and so little is expected. But the teachings are offered freely and there's all these goodwill people who come forward to support it. It's really been inspiring for me. And so one of the things I'd like to do is to thank all of you who have volunteered in small ways and big ways, whether you've been a bookkeeper or been a president or been a recorder or you've been you've come here sometimes Sunday morning we do the 10-15 minute of cleaning at the end of Sunday morning. That's a wonderful offering to our community. So I want to thank all of you for who have contributed. And what I'd like to do is, for a moment, is if those of you who have in any kind of way, in the even the smallest possible way, been a volunteer to do something that supports IMC, could you stand? That's impressive. I get the sense that's like more than half of you here today. Why are you standing, Stephen? It's too hard to stand. it's too hard for Stephen to stand. So thank you all. And that was very. I was a little bit stunned myself to see that many people. And for those of you who didn't stand, it's completely wonderful not to volunteer. And giving this talk, and I guess this volunteer fair is partly, you know, here to see if other people want to volunteer. We really want it to be without any pressure whatsoever and any sense of obligation, and to always feel free to come. But there's always the opportunity to volunteer, so if you'd like. So you want to?
So I'm Hillary, and I'm the volunteer director here, head volunteer. Actually, this morning is broadly about community, and one aspect of that is volunteering. So I just want to let you know about the volunteer opportunities. There's circles that we have here that are groups of people and an email group. A request goes out. If you're available, you can offer to help. So it's really useful. We always want it to be that way for you. So I'm just going to name the groups, and if the head of the group will just stand up so that people can see a friendly face. If you're interested in getting involved with that group, then you can talk with that person from the circle, and we'll all be out in the social hall, and there's some refreshments as well. So the first one is Cleaning Circle, and thank you. The Landscaping Circle, Fiona. Thank you. The Maintenance Circle, Jim Stimmel. Thank you. Manager Circle is Kate Boheim. Kate. As well as the Potluck Circle. Thank you. Let's see. Recording Circle is Mark. Mark is here. Mark Goldberg, head of our Audio Dharma program. And I'm adding a new one, Special Events Circle. So anybody who's interested in event planning, please see me. Tea Circle, we've got Lauren. Lauren in the back, thank you. Technology Circle, we've got Ryan in the back there. Thank you. And we have, representing our board of directors, we have Liz Powell is our president of the board, and also is the director of the Youth and Family Program, which is one of our big lights here. I just want to make a little plug for the Youth and Family Program. There are a couple new programs that we're trying to get off the ground and see what kind of interest there is. There's one that's for a toddler program. Yes. For a mom and baby kind of support group too. So if you're interested in any of that or any of the family programs, you can see Liz or me during the social hour. We also have affinity groups here, At Home in the World, people in their 20s and 30s. Do we have anybody here from that group? They tend to come Monday evenings, but is there somebody here? Okay, Sunday evenings. Right. Okay. Dharma en Español for Andrea Castillo. Dharma Friends. Do we have Ann Foster, Shelley Gordon? There are people from the Dharma Friends group here, I'm sure, so you can speak with them. Phil? There we go. Okay. Thank you, Phil. Then we've got the LGBTQ Sangha. Anybody from that Sangha here? Yay! Sue in the back with a t-shirt on. Women's Circle of Mindfulness. That would be me. We also have some interest groups. Earth Care Group. We have Diana Gross and Ann Schmidt. Thank you so much if you want to get involved with that. Greening the Center and the World. Dharma Friends. Did I say that already? Okay. Sonus Drummers. Our ukulele group. Martha's one of them. Yay! Paul just had a baby. Well, his wife had a baby. And Mary, yes, and they will be serenading us with ukulele playing during the social hour. Then we have a number of support groups. We have Buddhism and Recovery, a 12-step group, Jen Lemus. There she is back there. And then Mick Bennett isn't here today, but we have a couple life-threatening and chronic illness support groups. So if anybody's interested in that, you can talk to me, and I'll let you know a little bit about that. We also have a chaplaincy council and end-of-life companioning programs. And again, if you're interested in that, you can talk to me. And then we have neighborhood Dharma discussion groups. So if the leaders of those groups could stand, we have Peter now, who is from the Belmont-ish group. It's kind of a Redwood City, San Carlos Cemetery kind of eclectic group. Burlingame, Ken Cabal, there you are. Thank you, in the back, in the plaid. Mountain View, Phil Goodwin. Thank you. Palo Alto, is Jenny here today? Okay. Even if the person is not here, we have a table for neighborhood groups, and if you're interested, we have forms you could sign up. San Mateo, we have Elaine Salinger. I think she'll be coming Monday evening, actually. And San Carlos, we have Edna Faith. Thank you. And we have yoga. Terry Lesser and Cheryl, the teachers, I think they're coming tomorrow night. Is there...
We have Lolly stand.
Lolly, yes.
She can represent
the
yoga.
They represent the yoga.
And you're also, she's taught yoga for us. So
yes.
You should stand.
Do you understand, Lolly? Great. So is there any group that I have actually not mentioned that would you like to let me know about? Let us know about. Okay, and if there's any groups that you feel like you want to start, then also let us know. So we'll be having tea and refreshments, and then representatives groups will be out in the social hall. If you have any questions, you want to sign up for things, just feel free to come and talk to us. Thank you.
And if all that seems overwhelming and you're not interested in volunteering, or you're kind of interested in volunteering, but all that sounds too much, it's a wonderful way of volunteering is to sit quietly and meditate. It's a way of volunteering for yourself and volunteering for the world in a very special way. So thank you all for coming and being part of us today. And please stay around and socialize and talk a little bit. And it's a friendly group. Chance, you know, just if it's your first time here, especially. Some people have name tags. People at these different tables. You don't have to be interested in volunteering, but you might be interested in just learning more about people here and what goes on and making connections. And please stay. Thank you all.